Good morning. Shall we start with a prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So during lockdown, Sarah and I walked out every single day. We've always been walkers, but this has been different. It's actually been a revelation. It's been a bit like looking through a new window on our world, because we've seen things we've not seen before, and we've been amazed by observing the steady power of nature. Things have sprung up, things have been born, things have hatched. There's been new life, growth and change before our eyes and ears every single day. You may have had a similar experience over this last few months of seeing things in a new light over the last days and weeks since we've had lockdown. Of course, things are moving very slowly back towards normality, but that experience, that revelation of new things seen and heard, will not go away. It never will. It's changed us for the better, I believe. Now, in our current sermon series, Jesus is delivering his Sermon on the Mount, which is found in St Matthew's Gospel, starting at chapter 5. Why don't you grab your Bible and look it up? The famous Anglican priest and theologian Reverend Michael Green described it like this: the Sermon on the Mount is the supreme jewel in the crown of Jesus' teaching, in which Jesus is presenting a manifesto, if you like, a manifesto of the kingdom of God. In other words, what's it like to be a follower of Jesus? What does it involve? Now, only a short time before this, it was a moment by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called his disciples. "Follow me," he said. And now, instead of gathering round their nets, they're gathering round his feet as he's seated on the mountainside. They were intrigued by Jesus. They'd found him irresistible. Here was an extraordinary man who, in the short time that they'd known him, had teached, had preached, healed before their very eyes, already having a dynamic effect on the lives of many people, bringing hope to those who were gripped with despair. After what they've seen and heard, they want to know more. Can you blame them? The questions we have as we go about our daily lives are the same questions the disciples had. Do we want to know more about him and more about the kingdom he came to reveal to us? Are we ready to embrace that kingdom? And more importantly, is it something that might change us? Because when you read the Sermon on the Mount, what you'll find is Jesus laying it on the line for those who choose to follow him. And that includes me and you, doesn't it? Now, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you can't ignore the fact that Jesus is calling you and me to embrace the values of the kingdom. But he's also encouraging us to be brave enough to follow that with actions. So Jesus opens a new window for us to look through. And what we see and hear is so gripping that it will change us, and it will change the way we interact with the world, and it will change the world for the better. Now, I like a good film, and one of my favourites is the 2000 film Gladiator. And in it, the main character, Maximus Decimus Meridius, fights in a gladiatorial arena against another undefeated gladiator, whom he defeats, but he will not kill him. The crowd chants in support of Maximus, their new hero, calling him Maximus the Merciful. Now, the jealous emperor, Commodus, who is a sociopath, would like to have Maximus dispatched, but Commodus is a populist who craves the approval of the crowd, so he gives Maximus the thumbs up, showing off his mercy. People often have this image of what mercy is: a person or a body that dangles supreme power over another person, even the power of life or death. But in the end, that's just a demonstration of the power that one person has over another. It's not the result of any sort of caring motive. Let's turn to the words of Jesus: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." Now, in the Roman world, where Jesus voiced these words, showing mercy was despised, actually, and it was something to be ashamed of. Showing mercy was considered a weakness, unless it was used to demonstrate your control over other people. And it was similar in the times of the Old Testament, before the Romans appeared on the scene, although they were particularly adept at being merciless. Now, in contrast to this, in the Old Testament, mercy has a different meaning. It was more to do with how God's people dealt with each other, how they dealt with strangers, and how they dealt with those who were particularly in need. The prophet Micah called on God's people to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Hosea reminded them that God required mercy rather than sacrifice. You see, mercy was a demonstration of loving kindness, of tender compassion, of pity, of forgiveness, and a generous nature towards other people, rather than a demonstration of power over them. It was one of the most important characteristics of God's people, and mercy trumped sacrifice and religious ritual every time. That was God's desire for his people, although they often didn't get it right, and perhaps we don't always get it right either. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus understood the power of words, but Jesus also understood the power of words turned into actions. And through his ministry, he would go on to show the disciples what mercy really was. It was an outpouring of his life in loving kindness, in tender compassion, in pity, forgiveness, and generosity to everyone he met, especially to the vulnerable and the marginalised. Jesus even showed mercy to those people who hated him or despised him. And eventually, Jesus' life of mercy took him to the place where there was no mercy. I'm talking about the cross, where the ultimate pouring out of his life of mercy was made. On that cross, there was actually more mercy than we can ever imagine. For the cross of Jesus Christ is the place where God's saving mercy for the whole world was shown. Where Christ's mission of mercy to a hurting world came to its climax, its fulfillment. It was the main event, plain for everyone to see. So Jesus rescued us, each one of us, not because of our own righteousness or any righteous thing we might have done, but because of God's love for us revealed by his act of mercy towards us. When we realise that, how can we respond in any other way than to live a life full of mercy? Carrying our cross in imitation of Jesus means carrying a cross heavy with mercy. Mercy, more than just a feeling of compassion for someone in need, although that is a good place to start, mercy only exists when we actually do something to help. Jesus made this abundantly clear when he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which an innocent man is attacked and beaten up by robbers. Then in the story, some upright people walk past, ignoring him, but it's the despised Samaritan, the most unexpected person, who stops and saves the man. Jesus asks a lawyer in the crowd, which person in the story was the man's neighbour? And the lawyer admits, the one who had mercy on him. Well then, declares Jesus, go and do likewise. Up to today's verse from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been emphasising the attitude and relationship his disciples will have with God the Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But today's verse, it's where Jesus gets down to the nitty-gritty of our relationships with each other. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So a life which is merciful is a life full of loving kindness, tender compassion, pity, forgiveness, and generosity to everyone who we meet. It can be hard work sometimes, but Jesus makes two promises for those of us who walk in mercy. First, we will be blessed, sometimes translated as happy, but really meaning blissfully happy, Do you recall the last time you were really, really happy? Blissfully happy? Well, that's the feeling. And the second promise, we will be shown mercy. God has already rescued us through Jesus. That's mercy enough. But if the demonstration of mercy by God's people changes the world for the better, then we will experience mercy from others too. We will discover that to show mercy to someone else is liberating for us, as liberating for us as it is for the person receiving mercy. Mercy just keeps on giving. So over these last few very unusual months, I wonder what it is you've seen and heard that is new. Maybe it's Jesus' words as he sat and taught his disciples on the mountainside. Maybe Jesus has opened a new window on the world for you. Well, I pray that God will bless all of us with his love and mercy, that we may all experience mercy in our lives, and that we may demonstrate mercy to each other, to outsiders, and especially to those in need. And I pray that every one of you may experience the moment of blissful happiness in knowing your Saviour, Jesus Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And our world truly is in need of mercy at the moment, isn't it? Amen.